Interior design isn't known as the most eco-friendly industry, but there are many things that you can do and decisions that you can make to minimize your impact on the earth. So in honor of Earth Day, let's dive in and talk about sustainable, eco-friendly design to help your home be more kind to the earth. Welcome to Design Your Home, the podcast that helps you design and decorate your home with confidence. I'm your host, award-winning interior designer and real estate investor, Sally Soricelli, here to help you create timeless designs that'll make your home or investment property stand out. Thanks for listening. Well, hey there, and welcome to today's design conversation about eco-friendly design, which is the perfect conversation to have as we just celebrated Earth Day. You might call it eco-friendly design, sustainable design, eco-design, earth-friendly design, environmentally friendly design, or green design. But no matter what you call it, it's all about reducing our footprint on the earth as we're updating our homes. And in this episode, we're not really talking about building or constructing an environmentally friendly home, but instead talking about the interior design and decor decisions and how we can make more earth-friendly decisions in those departments. Now, first, you might be wondering, well, what is eco-friendly design? And that's design that benefits both people and the environment. And it takes into account the environmental impact of a product's life cycle. And that's the entire cycle of the process from creation to the point that it gets into your home. The materials used, transportation and logistics, all of that is part of a product's life cycle. And this episode could get really big and go into a lot of different directions, but we're going to keep it simple. And I could always create a series about this if that's something you're interested in. So let's find out how you can make more earth-friendly decisions in your home because every little bit helps. And one last thing, it can get really overwhelming thinking about all the decisions you could make. When trying to do, quote, the right thing, there are pros and cons to each decision. So try not to put a lot of pressure on yourself as we're all doing the best we can. And I want to start with a question for you. Is what you're buying really eco-friendly? Because it can be really confusing to know what's eco-friendly or not because there are different factors that go into that. The majority of a product's environmental impact comes from the materials that it's made of. And you might think that one natural material is more eco-friendly than its faux counterpart, but that might not be the whole picture. So let's take leather as an example. Leather is a byproduct of the beef industry, which is an industry that leads to lots of environmental issues, pollution, tons of water usage, and then the tanning process of leather uses lots of waters and chemicals. Then when it comes to leather, there's a transportation footprint of leather. The cows are often raised in one country or continent. The hides, their skins, are often shipped to another continent for tanning. Then the furniture is often manufactured in another continent, and then it's shipped here to us in North America. So for a cow that could be raised in South America, their hides shipped to Europe for tanning, and then the furniture that the skins and the tans and hides are used for is in Asia, and then it's shipped over here to us in North America. That's a lot of travel and fuel usage, where you could have a pleather or a faux leather that you would think, well, that's got plastic in it. That one's not eco-friendly. But I want you to consider the entire environmental picture and footprint. So yes, when you're looking right at the surface level, leather is natural, pleather is not. That's made out of plastics or vinyl, so it can't be as good. But then if you think about all the behind the scenes impacts of that same leather product, then it might make you second guess that, well, maybe the man-made option might be more environmentally friendly. You can see how this can get a little more complicated. And your decisions might actually be based on your own personal values, which is totally okay. For me personally, I was a vegetarian for 20 years, and I'm still very selective about what meats I will currently eat. So for me, I actually personally don't choose leather in my home furnishings. But that's why I choose faux leather in that case. But I've had other friends say, oh, well, there's the plastics in that. And those are values that they have. So think about it from your value perspective. Neither one is right or wrong. And a very common argument about this is the real Christmas tree versus the fake Christmas tree. There are two sides of that argument, and both sides have very good reasons to support that decision. And the reason I brought this up is because making eco-friendly furniture decisions might not be so simple. And that's what this episode is here to help you with. And the point is to do what you can, as every little bit does help. We don't have to be perfect about it. And in this episode, I will have a lot of show notes for resources that you can get more information about. But a lot of what you consider to be eco-friendly or not might also come down to your personal values, and that's totally okay. So let's move on to choosing furniture and materials that are more eco-friendly. Now, the majority of a product's environmental impact comes from the materials that it's made of. And most furniture is made from two different things, woods and fabrics. Those are two really big ones that are used over and over again in so much of our furniture. Now, when it comes to woods, you want to avoid wood that leads to deforestation and instead go with wood from sustainable forests. Another big part of the furniture and home furnishings industry are the fabrics and fibers that are used for furniture, drapery, bedding, and rugs. Well, the truth is, those fibers can lead to lots of waste and pollution from chemicals used to process those fibers into threads to make the fabrics that we use in our furniture and our draperies and our beddings. An example are flame retardants. These are commonly used in furniture, mattresses, and children's sleepwear even, and that is filled with dangerous chemicals, and these will come in contact with our skin. Sheets and bedding is another example of something we can come into contact with all the time. And if you're sleeping 8 hours a night, maybe more for children, maybe less for your hardworking adults who aren't getting as much sleep, you really want to go with organic. It is the best here if you want to make those changes to be more environmentally friendly. And then leather, as I mentioned before, it isn't necessarily eco-friendly if you have the animal rights beliefs. It's not an ideal solution. But vinyl alternatives, the pleathers, aren't the most eco-friendly either. So in this case, you've got to make the decision that's right for you. Now, one last common part of furniture is the foam used for cushions and mattresses. Many furniture products in the past had to have flame retardants, but that changed in 2004 when laws changed here in California. So furniture before then, that was made before 2014, likely has flame retardants and more chemicals than new furniture from now. Now, what are some action steps when buying new furniture and materials that you can take that are more eco-friendly? Well, first, you can look for furniture that has a label that's saying it's made with reclaimed wood or was certified from third parties like the Forest Stewardship Council, FSC. You can also look for fabrics with organically grown natural fibers that are certified by OCOTEX or GOTS, which is the Global Organic Textile Standard. You can also check if foams have flame retardants or not and go with those that don't have them. And if possible, look for organic foams without added chemicals. Now, yes, some of these can be more expensive, but not always. I will find that when my kids were little and I was looking for organic materials for them, there were few and far between choices. But now, I mean, 15 plus years later, it's amazing how many choices there are. And with more options and more competitors, that helps bring the cost down. So you might be able to find some great options. And I do have a link to look for that, which I'll mention in a little bit. Now, you can also shop at stores that have sustainable options and are members of the Sustainable Furniture Council, SFC, which is a leading source for sustainable solutions in home furnishings, and it's dedicated to minimizing our industry's footprint. Because the truth is, interior design isn't the most eco-friendly industry, but luckily some great changes are being made in that department. I just found out, I don't know how I didn't discover this, but Pottery Barn has a whole sustainability section on their website dedicated to this, and it's called the Sustainability Shop. I will put a link to this also in the show notes. And then one of the biggest things that I think you can do is to buy an organic latex mattress. My personal favorite that we use, I will mention in just a moment. But to me, this is a big one, especially for children and also just all of us as adults. We spend so much time, or at least we should if we're being super healthy, sleeping and in our beds. And if we are sleeping on a toxic mattress, we are breathing those outgassing chemicals and it's not good for our health. So years ago, when we had decided to invest in healthy mattresses, because again, if you're sleeping anywhere from 6 to 8 hours and children could be 16 or more, especially our little littles, that you want those chemical-free sleeping environments. And so years ago, when we went to buy new mattresses, I did a ton of research. I am a research junkie. I will have hours and hours spent trying to research things, which is probably why I like having a podcast, because I also get to research for here. But we chose Savvy Rest, and that's S-A-V-V-Y Rest. And we bought all of our mattresses from them. We bought ours for our bedroom, which is a queen, and then we bought full size or doubles for our two kids' rooms. Now, this worked out great for us. At the time, we were living in the state of Virginia outside of DC. And Savvy Rest is actually made in Virginia. So not only was I buying an eco-friendly product, I was also buying one that had a lower footprint because of transportation. Where it was manufactured, I wasn't having to factor in. Now, yes, they do get materials from other countries, but the production actually happened right there. And we have had these mattresses for, I don't know, 17 years, and they are still amazing. My husband loves them. The kids love them. I love it. And whenever we're not sleeping on our mattress, we always miss it. You can do that customization, and it is made from organic latex, which is made from the sap of rubber trees. So highly recommend them. I'll put a link, which I don't get anything for that link. It's just spreading some good news. All right, let's move on to how to reduce your home's impact on the environment when you're designing and decorating your space. One, go vintage with your furniture and decor. Now, vintage is the newer and trendy word for this. It is also called pre-owned, secondhand, or used. Now, a pro of vintage or pre-owned furniture is you don't have to wait for it to be made. You're not going to wait 12 to 14 weeks. Anyone who bought furniture in the pandemic, you might have had a long time waiting. You don't have to wait because it already exists. Another pro is some of these pieces might be more one of a kind. They're not what you're seeing in all the stores right now, unless you're buying a newer pre-owned item. And according to Global Data 2022 Resale Home Furnishings Market Research, the resale spending market for furniture has grown by 62.6%, which is huge. And over the next several years, it is expected to grow 3 times as fast as traditional retail in the next few years. Shopping vintage or secondhand has become so much more mainstream, and there isn't a stigma to it like there once was, that you weren't buying quality or you couldn't afford new, and so you were buying used. A great example of this is I have high schoolers. My son loves to go vintage shopping for clothes with his friends. I laugh. He'll think vintage is from the 90s, which is, you know, when we were growing up and in our college and adult years. But his friends love to go vintage shopping, and they prefer to buy so many interesting, new to them, but older things. I admit personally, I'm a bit of a germaphobe. I would have to selectively choose what I would buy vintage, just my own personal thing and my own issues. But if you are open to this, then I think it is a great option. Like, I might be more okay with buying hard pieces of furniture, like case goods, your tables and furniture, which I have. Sofas and things, I'd have to be real selective and careful, make sure there was no smoking or pets or cats or things that might have any allergies. But again, this vintage secondhand market is so much more popular than it was years ago. Another thing you can do is choose paints with low or zero VOCs, which are volatile organic compounds. I have always preferred my low VOC paints, and you can even get them at your standard home improvement stores like Home Depot and Lowe's, although I will shop often at Sherwin-Williams or Benjamin Moore are two of my favorites. Now, another thing you can do is to reduce your home's impact on the environment is to consider how you can reuse or repurpose what you currently have instead of buying new. So if you have a console table, and I'll use this as an example, I have a console table from a furniture company I love and adore called Hooker Furniture. They have really good quality. And I bought my piece 10 years ago in my dining room, and my tastes have kind of changed over the time, and I want to change it. And so I thought, I'm going to buy a new one. Well, if I tried to buy my existing piece new, it would cost several thousand dollars more than I paid for it from inflation and different changes that have happened since the pandemic. And I don't know if I really need to change a perfectly good, really high quality piece of furniture. So I'm considering ways I can modify this piece. And so I actually might refinish it. I might swap out the doors, as I personally don't think I want the mirrored glass anymore that has that antique finish. I might want something a little different. So instead of spending thousands of dollars on a new piece, I'll spend a fraction of that to update a piece. So think about in your own home. You might not love a piece of furniture, but instead of buying new, how could you modify it? Could you refinish it? Could you swap out the doors? Could you reupholster it? Now, paying for reupholstery shockingly does cost about the same as buying new. I'm actually reupholstering some things currently right now, but you definitely can customize things and save a little bit, especially if you learn how to do it yourself, but it does take time to do. Another thing you can do is go with low flow plumbing fixtures that reduce the amount of water used. The EPA WaterSense label can help you identify lower flow products. I laugh, here in California, some of our products are so, quote, efficient with low flow that they're actually inefficient. And I'm like, we're flushing twice. It's not as great. So choose carefully, because sometimes we can be so efficient that we're inefficient. It's the life of California. And then another thing, choose energy efficient lighting and light bulbs. Switching to LED lights from your standard light bulbs, the incandescents, is a great way to save on energy. The bulbs do cost more, but they last longer. At least they say so. And then the last thing to reduce your home's impact on the environment is to buy local to reduce that carbon footprint and fuel usage. Anything you can get local is always going to reduce the amount of gas used and just be a little bit more eco-friendly there. All right. Let's talk about if you want to buy some pre-owned furniture, some vintage furniture. Where are places that you can go for this? Now, yes, you are going to have some fuel costs if some of these, which I'm going to list, are not local, but you're also not manufacturing something new. So here are some places to shop, and I will have this in a little Pinterest graphic that you can actually pin this list so you always have it saved. First place, Cherish. Now, 85% of their site is what they call, quote, vintage. Kayo, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, is another place that you can go. Apt Deco is another site. And again, I will have a link to all of these in the show notes and a Pinterest image to remind you of all of these. Now, locally, consignment stores. There are so many consignment stores all over the country. Even if you have to drive a little bit away, I'm sure you'll be able to find one. Facebook Marketplace. Who here has bought things on Facebook Marketplace? That is a great place to buy pre-owned furniture and decor. And then yard sales and garage sales. All of these items might take a little bit more time, all of these places, because you are searching to find something that's just right. But those are six places to buy pre-owned furniture. And then the last thing I want to mention is in the show notes, you'll find links for the different sites and resources I mentioned in this episode that will have all the information for you if you want to do a little more research on your own, like where to buy more organic foams and the link to my mattress place and Okotex, which even you could buy children's pajamas at Costco now that I'll see Okotex certified. So it's little things we can do to make a big impact. Okay, my design friends, that is it for this week's design conversation. And my hope is that you find out some new information to help you take a small step toward a greener home. The goal here isn't to be perfect and not to guilt you or shame you in any way. It's just to bring things to your attention so that we can reduce our environmental footprint and make small changes, because again, every little bit counts. And if you haven't yet subscribed to this podcast, please make sure to hit that subscribe or follow button on whatever listening platform you are on, because it supports this podcast more than you can ever imagine. And it will get shown to more people who want help designing and decorating their home just like you. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next week. Have an amazing day.